Good morning again, everyone. Good news is I think we finally found the switch for the air conditioner that everybody's asking for in July and August. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 22. It's not the message that I planned on preaching today, but circumstances being what they were, I remembered an old story. And it kind of goes like this. It says that one bitter cold Sunday morning, an old farmer trudged for miles through a blizzard to reach the small mountain church he attended. No one else showed up except the preacher. Looking around at the empty pews, the pastor leaned over the pulpit and suggested to his lone congregant that it hardly seemed worth proceeding with the service with such a low turnout. Perhaps we'd do better if we simply returned to our nice, warm homes and had a nice hot drink of coffee, he said in a tone that blatantly encouraged the old farmer to agree. The old farmer looked at the preacher and said, "Now, I'm just a simple farmer, but when I go to feed my herd and only one cow shows up, I don't let her go hungry." Preacher felt quite embarrassed and a bit guilty. So he conducted the entire service, hymns, readings, announcement, even a special song capping off the morning with a fiery, passionate sermon. The whole thing lasted well over an hour. After the service, the pastor said to the farmer, "Well, I hope that met your needs." The farmer said, "Well, now, I'm just a simple farmer, but when I go to feed my herd, if only one cow shows up, I sure don't try to force feed her everything I brought for the herd." If you would, Luke chapter 22. Would you stand as we read from God's word? Beginning at verse 14. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Heavenly Father, again, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that we can gather in your name in your house. Lord, we pray as we focus on communion, as we focus on you, that we would remember you in all that we do and say. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Given the conditions and the fact that I figured we might be small in number this morning, our communion meditation will be a lot shorter than normal, and it's just focused on those words that says, "Do this in remembrance of me." I want to focus really on that one word, remember. Whole reason we partake of the Lord's Supper each and every month is because of this command, to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. With such a command to keep this in remembrance, we might wonder at its significance and ask what it means to remember this event. What is it about this evening in the upper room, this meal that should be the focus of our attention so often? In what manner or with what approach should we remember this event that took place so long ago? Remember. Thus, this word speaks of remembering something forgotten or the moment when something pops into our stream of consciousness. I remember. Somebody says something and We remember. Do you remember when such and such occurred? Do you remember when that happened? And it pops into your head, and oh, yes, I certainly do remember that. We might recall many things when asked about communion here at Agape. I can remember lots of interesting services we've had centered around communion. We have a long history of doing some things out of the ordinary for communion services. We've filled the place with the sound of trumpets. We've had strange characters show up. We've had storms appear with lightning and thunder and rain. Why, one time for communion, we even had the devil show up and held court right here in church. But the Hebrew thought, what does it mean to remember? When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, what does it mean? The Hebrew thought, it's something more than the reaction to a question or an event or a passing thought, or even something that is focused on in the mind. To remember something or someone in Hebrew thought is generally tied to physical expression or physical things. It means not just to have a memory of something, but to do something to honor that person or that event, to keep a relationship fresh. The Hebrew word for remember is zakar. It's the word that is used when the Bible says God remembered his covenant with Israel. In Exodus 2, we read and it says, during those days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. Did God forget he made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Can God forget? It wasn't that God forget and suddenly the people cried out to him. What the Bible is saying here, what God is saying is, at that time, I remembered with action. I remembered that I was going to honor my covenant that I made with my people. And so he sent a deliverer. He sent plagues. He did everything that needed to be done to honor and remember that covenant he had made. Because the Lord remembers the covenant, he sets in motion events that will fulfill his promises. Again, he takes action to show that he remembers. God remembers in Genesis 8. It says, but God remembered Noah. Again, did God forget about Noah in the ark? God knew right where Noah was. He didn't forget about him. He didn't look one day down out of heaven and say, oh yeah, Noah's still out there floating along. God remembered Noah. And the Bible says, God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the water subsided. Genesis 30, 22 says that God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. See, to remember, we see time and time again in the Bible, means to put something into action, to take action, to show that a relationship is being honored, that things are being done to keep that thing alive. Likewise, when the scriptures speak of Israel not remembering the Lord, they did not forget about the Lord, but rather they did not act in a manner that honored him. They didn't remember him with their actions. They no longer followed his commandments, even though they knew them. They did not offer sacrifices required by the Lord, even though they knew what was required. They knowingly sinned by not acting upon the covenant, in essence, forgetting, forsaking their covenant with God. Judges 8 says, as soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God. Had they forgotten about God? No, Gideon just died. They'd been honoring him up until the point that Gideon died. They forsook God by not remembering him. They did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Gideon in return for all the good he had done to Israel. To remember, to Zakar, it's tied to some physical action, some physical thing. It means it, the word is used in conjunction with memorials and altars. How many times do you remember in the Bible when a man would build an altar to remember a place or something that God had done? The Bible says at one point, Abraham built an altar and he called God the Lord my banner. It was a significant thing. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land and God had caused the waters to recede so that they could cross again on dry land, what did they do? They built an altar with 12 stones. Time and time again, men would do something that physically shows they remember what God did. And they would come back to that place and they would say, see, because of this altar, this physical thing that I built, we remember what God did. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, and David all built altars, which again served as memorials, remembrances to the Lord. In the same way, Zakar is also used to describe a male child's birth, as the family name will be remembered another generation. It will be carried on. It's again this idea of a physical act of something taking place, which is so important. So this morning, as we come to the communion table, we come to remember, to do something that honors our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread and the wine are the memorial, like the stones men used in the Bible. The cross and altar of our memory of the covenant that was cut by our Lord for our salvation. The table is an altar we have built to commemorate and keep the commandment of Jesus when he said, do this in remembrance of me. The songs we sing, vocalized action to put us in remembrance of the Lord. But what did Jesus say to remember? He say, remember the bread and the wine, remember the cross, remember, you know, all my blessings. What was it Fred in his message said today? He said, a lot of people love my blessings. We can love church. We can love the fellowship. We can love the blessings God gives us. We can love a lot of different things. We can remember a lot of different things. But what did Jesus say? He said, remember me. Don't forget about me. So Jesus says to us this morning, remember me. Don't remember the disciples all gathered around the table like Da Vinci painted. Don't focus on all the things you might be tempted to focus on. Remember me. Remember the person. Remember me as the one who loves you. Remember me. The Lord desires us to remember the relationship we have with him. What is the point of coming to church if not a relationship with God? What was the point of the cross? What was the point of all the things we do here if it's not about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We are his bride. He is our husband. He chose this moment in time to say, remember me. Remember, it's all about our relationship. Because the bread and wine, symbolic of his broken body and his blood, were the moment we became his bride. The cross was the moment when he cut the covenant that we could be his people. And so when you see these things, when you eat the bread and the wine, Jesus is saying, remember our relationship that's like a marriage. The Old Testament prophets described Israel as a prostitute who ran after other gods like an adulterous wife. We think of how awful Israel was, yet James says the same thing about us, the New Testament church, when he calls the church adulterers. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it to be suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? How many of you understand God is a jealous God? It's not sinful jealousy. It's righteous jealousy. He says, I'm jealous for my bride. I'm jealous for my church. And when you go off and you focus on other things, you put other things in front of me, you worship idols is what that is called. I'm a jealous God. We somehow believe it's different with the Lord than with human beings. If your husband or wife finds you snuggling up to someone else or openly flirting with another, there's going to be trouble. Amen? At least there should be. Somebody's likely to get a bloody nose. Yet when we flirt or love the world, James says that makes us an enemy of the one who loves us so much. So James' response is to tell us that if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. See, the Lord desires, he wants to draw close to us. But we need to draw close to him. I know it's cold in here, so I'm going to skip right to the end. So move into 2018. I want to talk about our focus for the year. Reach, rescue, restore has kind of become our unofficial mission statement for the year. I'm not sure what that looks like or what shape that might take place. But if we have any hope at fulfilling this, there is something we need to do. We need to remember Jesus. You see, what is it that we're going to reach people with? Really cool church services, good music, a better way to live, to think, a whole new world of friends and people to get to know. There's only one thing we're going to reach them with, Jesus. How are we going to rescue people? There's a lot of things people need to be rescued from in this world. But there's only one way to rescue them, and that's with Jesus. What are we going to restore them to? We might restore somebody that's homeless to a home. We might restore somebody that's out of work to a job. We might restore somebody that's hungry to the dinner table. We want to see families restored. We want to see relationships restored. But there's one thing that we need to restore people to above all others, and that's to Jesus. So Jesus says, remember me. So today we remember the Lord, the God who stepped away from heaven's throne to walk among us and to love us. We remember the one who died for us to save us from ourselves. We remember the one who remembered us first. The Lord is a personal Savior and a friend. John was so loved by the Lord that he was lay his head on the Lord's shoulder. The Lord loves you and I the same. It carries us when we are weak and loves us through every trial. So let us remember him in word and deed this year. Next week, I want to begin a series on restoring, remembering the awe and wonder of the Lord. It's the message that I had planned on preaching this week, but I think maybe things will work out a little bit better. Maybe God's got his hand in things. Next week, we'll remember Jesus as the lion whose roar is fearful and trembles, is terrible and shakes the whole earth. The one who's so holy and righteous that men drop dead before. The one whose glory is so great that the whole earth trembles before him. And so this year we want to remember exactly who the Lord is and what he is like, so that we can know him greater. We can restore something that I think has been lost in the church by and large in this age. But we also, again, want to remember him as friend and brother, the God-man who died for our sins, our Savior and friend. Again, the one who remembered us. And so in turn, we remember him today. Amen. If those who are going to serve the elements would get ready for communion, the worship team is going to come on back up. I want to encourage you to ask yourself, what ways have I forgotten the Lord? And what ways have I perhaps forsaken him? And what ways do I need to return to remember? We worship you, Lord Jesus. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to see. Your name is big. Glory, oh, praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. Oh, praise will rise to Christ our King. Yeah, yeah. We remember, Lord, that you are the one in whom salvation is found. Lord, we remember that you are our victory, that you are our deliverer, that you are our redeemer. We praise you, O God. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ. Your name is victory. All praise will rise
creature's watch in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ the King. Your name
Pastor Brian was preaching. Just some thoughts were going through my head. You know what made the difference in the lives of those men that we call the apostles or call the disciples? The difference in their life was that they met Jesus. They didn't come up with a new theology or some new religion or something. They met Jesus. What changed Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus? He met Jesus up close and personal. I'm reminded, as Brian was speaking about Jesus being the lion, I was reminded of that passage of Scripture in the first chapter of the book of Revelation where John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when suddenly I heard a great voice behind me that sounded like the sound of many waters. And I turned to see who it was. And there he saw Jesus moving among the candlesticks, and he was in all of his resurrected glory. And John said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. You know, the church some years ago decided that if we made Jesus more appealing to the world, if somehow we made him nicer, if we made him more tolerant, if we made him more accepting, maybe we make Jesus more modern, that that would draw people in the church. Well, how's that worked? Men are abandoning the church in herds. And I'll tell you why. It's because they're not meeting Jesus. They're meeting some fabricated image that man has developed. I really respond to Pastor Brian's message this morning. And I respond this way, that in 2018, if we're going to draw men to Jesus, let's draw them to the real Jesus. Let's be transformed by the real Jesus. Let's present him as he really is. We've always been so concerned here that we preach the truth, not something that will draw crowds, but that we would preach the truth. I'm even more committed to that, that we would stand up and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is what he's really like. Meet him and be changed. Amen? Meet him and be changed. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat all of it. As a young man, coming to Christ as a teenager and being mentored in a pastor's home, I was fully convinced of one thing, that the only hope for any man, regardless of his situation, is the blood of Jesus. And that the only truth that transforms is the Word of God. Men are changed by the Word of God. They are changed by the blood of Christ. They are changed as they come into contact with him. Let's let the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ, the blood of Christ, change us, transform us in 2018, so that men may see in us the risen Christ. Jesus said, this is my blood, which is given in payment for your sins. Take, drink all of it. Lord Jesus, we are living in a crazy world that seems to be hell-bent on destroying itself. Men are literally going crazy because of their sinfulness. They're saying crazy things. They are adopting crazy belief systems. They are promoting a lifestyle that is insane because man is so driven by his sin and so blinded by the God of this world. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And he also said, "I am the truth." Father, help us as individuals and as a church congregation that in 2018 we may be wholly committed to presenting the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can change, who can transform, who can heal, who can provide, who can deliver, who can set free. Father, by your Holy Spirit, put an unction upon us that we might be zealous to reach men for Christ. And may that be the way we remember you here at Agape in 2018. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. What a great congregation you are for Braven. I'm starting to feel like somebody left the door to the meat locker open. Let's just close with a song, Pastor Brian.
By your Spirit. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me by